Good morning. Man, we've had church already. That's how I feel this morning. I hope you feel that same way. Man, God is moving. And I hope you felt that. I hope you know that. I hope it's more than just emotions. I hope you know that God loves you right where you're at. There's a verse as I was getting ready this morning that God just overwhelmed me with, and it's a simple verse, but it's so impactful. It is Matthew 20:28. Just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. Let me reread that again, because the impact, the power in these small sentence right here, this is huge for us. Just as the Son of Man, Jesus, came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. That's our Savior. That's the Son of God right there. I don't think I can express enough how amazing that statement is, that he came to serve and not be served. That this king, the mighty of all mighties, the one who could calm the storms, the one that can heal the blind, the one that can do miraculous things, came here to love us right where we're at. Man, I could end this. I feel like I can end it here and we would be good. I really do, because I feel like if we honestly understand what that means and put that inside of us, that our Savior, the one that created us, the one that loves us, knows every ounce of us, knows who we are, and loves us despite it, came to serve us. Even while we were whiny, bratty, out of control, came to serve us. You can look at his disciples. They were crazy half the time, and they would do things. You're like, what are you doing? Peter especially. And we've talked about it before, and he had one that was going to betray him, and he knew he was going to betray him, and he got down on his knees and washed his feet. How many of us can do that? To where our pride doesn't get in the way, to where our feelings don't get in the way. Right? It's hard. And we can only do that with Jesus at the center of our heart. With the Holy Spirit moving us. There have been moments in my life that people have said things and done things, and I thought they were believers, and I knew they were pastors, and I knew I respected them, and I heard this is what they said about me, and I thought, and it just starts to boil over, and God comes in and says, you are called to love them. Called to be there for them. Called to serve them. And I want you to know, to serve is a unique thing. It is the expression of what God has done in your heart as an outward appearance of who Jesus is in your life. Because in reality, it's where the people that we need are called to love and serve, even the people that are in our homes, even the people within our own church, even the people that have said horrible things about you, even the people that you work with, if you bend down on your knee and live a life that is one that's washing their feet, metaphorically, because that's weird today, metaphorically, you wash their feet. The internal witness that you just did there is not you, but Jesus. Do you hear that? That you represented the Savior that day. That you represented Jesus Christ in that moment. You came to serve and not be served. Imagine if we lived with that motto on our life. Guess what? As a church, this is part of our thought and calling. This is what we're going to be talking for the next couple of weeks. Maybe. I think my battery's dead, so you're going to have to help me. I'm sorry. So, just throw up that first one. Maybe. We changed some of the slides, so they might be messed up. All right, there it is. Serve. All right. That's who we are, right? And we're going to talk about serve and what it looks like to serve. And I just want to throw some major props out really quick. We handed out, I say we, really a couple of our ladies in our church handed out over 30 bags to the homeless this week, yesterday, right? That's pretty awesome, right? Pretty cool thing. Also, we had a men's event, which was part of our connection, you know, and we had about 24 men show up and eat tons of food and fish, and I heard one fish was caught, and it was about that big. Is that right, Ryan? Right? Right? And swallowed the whole hook. I love it. Right? Our church is moving. One of the things I see, and this is no reflection on those on the outskirts here, okay? I'm not trying to talk bad about those who are sitting on the outskirts. But one of the things I've noticed this last couple of weeks, people are starting to scoot in. Do you know what this is all about? I'm starting to see the Spirit move and us becoming unified as a body of believers, knowing that we are called to do this together. It's a church that's recognizing, hey, we need each other, and we need to be a movement, and we need to be loving. And we're not. When I first got here, and this is nothing about me, but in part of it's COVID, right? We're not so much COVID. Now we're realizing, hey, I want to be together. This was the most emptiest section when I first got here. And it was kind of out here, and it was kind of like, hey, are we good to be friends again? Like, it's just awesome to see God move and work and just change people's lives. And we're breaking down these barriers and just seeing prayer work. And I'm seeing a church come together, whether we do it right or wrong, knowing that we're doing this to praise God, hopefully, right? That's our motive in all things. The thing that I've learned through my years of ministry is, like, people have the best intention most of the time. They want to do what God has called them to do. Half the time, we just trip over our own feet. And that's our response of how do we handle that? How do we love each other through that, right? Now, I propose these things really quick because some of you have probably already heard some news this last week. I got a lot of text messages. I got a lot of screenshots. We made the news, if you know. If you didn't know, we made the news for a good reason, in my opinion, all right? We're going to help the Lutheran High School out. They're going to use our facilities for the next 2 years, and it could be longer, all right? But they had an issue. Their building has mine subsidence. Is that how you say it? It's sinking, all right? It's a horrible deal for them, and they're not allowed to be back in their building. And they're a high school without a school. It's kind of tough to do a high school without a place to go, right? And they came and they came and talked to us, and we said, hey, take a look at our facilities. And they fell in love with it. All right? I can't tell you. It was a whirlwind of a week for our board, for our leaders, for me. And things got done within a week, and they are now coming here. All right? I love that you clap. You know, it's awesome. I'm sweating it. I really am. And not for a bad reason. I just know it's an... Yes. Awesome. Praise God. That's so cool. I get to see your grandson. That's cool. All right. I'll tell him that I know his grandma. You better behave, right? All right? Right? One of the cool things, too, is, like, I have a former student from Decatur First Church who's a senior this year at Lutheran High, and he's going to be the kind of kid that will sit in my office until he gets in trouble. So, the stories are going to be crazy. I'm going to love it. I'm going to love it, and the amount of lives that we get to watch walk through this building and be transformed for Jesus Christ, I'm excited, and we as a church get to be a part of that, and it goes with this theme of serve. Right? Serve is also synonymous with sacrifice. And we're going to have to sacrifice some things. Some space. Some time. some of our strength, right? And it is our call, and this is the cool thing, they are brothers and sisters in Christ too, right? Like I would hope if this was a public setting, this would be a great opportunity if it was a public school to go, okay, this is our chance, right? And it would probably cause a lot of rip roar and who knows, woo, it would be a lot of lines to have to balance, who knows, right? But man, these are brothers and sisters in Christ that we get to love on and help through. They got a horrible situation. And we get to be shining light upon them. All right? So this is the thing. This as we go through this, and I guarantee the next couple of months, whew, it's going to be a whirlwind, right? And there's going to be things that we're like, hey, they did this, or hey, we need this, or this is our opportunity to remember we're here to serve, right? We're here to sacrifice. We're here to love. We're here to do what it takes to be the message that Jesus Christ has called us to be, right? And remember this. What are we going to be as a church? We want to connect, right? If you remember, we want to connect people to who? Jesus. And who else do we connect them to? Us, right? We want it. We realize we're cool people. Right? Because what makes us cool? Amen. Nothing else. The love and grace and mercy that we find within us and the ability to be able to show that to others is because of what Jesus has done in our lives. And our biggest thing that we want to connect to is us and people with God. And we come together to have a joyful noise. I tell you what, I've talked about NYC, Nazarene Youth Conference. It happens every 4 years. It's happening next year, and it's a party of like 6,000 to 8,000 teens, and it is all centered around God. And I don't know about you, but I love going to them because I get so jazzed up, excited, and just ready to be where God is wanting me to be. I will tell you, that's where my call started, was at NYC. And this church sent me. So you're the reason I'm here. All right? So think about that. I had somebody tell me to pose this question, like, we might be sending our next pastor of this church to NYC. That our investment is that, right? But the reason I'm saying this, because we get together and we're so cool because Jesus Christ is the best. He's the top of the line. And he loves us and we party like nobody else I've ever seen before. We don't need anything else. We just need to know that the Holy Spirit's moving and we're excited. It's awesome. You go to camp, whoo! I went to camp for 20 years. Every time I would come back, I'm amped up for God. Amped up. My teens would be amped up for God. And the church would notice it, and they would be like, okay, what's going on? Should we catch fire, or should we tell them to settle down? The last church I was at, D1, we came back from a camp, and for 3 months, when the worship was going on, the whole youth group, about 30 of them, would just rush the stage. And the church at first was like, what's going on? And I had to warn our worship minister, hey, this is what's going to happen. I know it's going to happen because it happened at camp. We have a group that's just on fire for God right now. They want to worship, and they want to lead the church in worship, and they want the church to know that God is big enough to move us and change us and transform us, that we need to let him know how happy we are to be in his presence. And they came up, and they stand right next to the stage and be like, God is good! Right? And I will tell you, the first 2 weeks, the first 2 Sundays, the church was like, just sitting and staring. They're rushing the stage. I had to calm my security team down. It's okay. It's okay. They're here to worship. And then it became a normal thing. But the thing that I think within the church, us as adults need to break down some barriers and understand, hey, it's okay to be excited to be in this presence because we're with a bunch of cool people that know Jesus Christ. And he's the only reason that makes us cool. Right? Right? Because that's why we're here. Not to be entertained, not to be like just a pew sitter. Guess what? You came this morning, whether you know it or not, to serve Jesus Christ. You understand that? Like, no matter what, the reason that you came, whether you were dragged here or forced here, I don't care. Underneath it all, our hope is that you came to serve God this morning. And that's all that matters. It doesn't matter what I say. It kind of does. I don't want to say anything bad, right? And you're more than welcome to hold me accountable. But the reality of this is it's all centered around God. And we come here to serve Him. And when we do that, everything else fades away. And we understand that. In Ephesians, he talks about this. I got that up there, right? Ephesians. All right. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service. Just hold it there. God has a plan for you. And it's different from the person that you sit next to. I like that he gave us the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. And I think you could have just kept going on and on with this list, right? And I think whatever you find yourself in, whatever you do, your talents, your gifts, and there's plenty of tests out there that you can go find out what you're gifted at. There's not one that has shown me that I'm gifted in anything. But, you know, that's okay. I know God loves me. But in those things, what am I using them for? My gifts and my talents, what am I using them for? And when I don't use them, there becomes an issue in my life. When I don't use what God has given me, guess what starts to happen? It starts to run dry and become stale in life. You start to forget why you're here. And all of a sudden, there's this switch that turns in our life that goes, man, I'm not getting what I need. I'm not getting what I want. I'm not getting this. I'm not want. Why am I? And it's you can just sense in your spirit, in your soul, it starts to rot and smell and not be what God has designed you to be, because your focus isn't on God. It's on you. You see, when we flip that switch back, when we understand we're here to serve God, in all things that we do, guess what we start to have? We start to have an understanding of the reason that I'm here. The reason not just here right now in this moment, but the reason that I'm here on this earth. It's to serve God and love people the way that God loves people. And in the gifts and talents, how am I doing that? Right? Go to the next slide. So that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in faith and knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So this is the reflection of when we do what God has called us to do, especially as a body. When we're called to serve in any ways that we are doing what we are doing in our life, right? Like, for instance, going to a picnic is service, because we are providing an opportunity for our people to get together and have fun and fish and fellowship. Do you understand? That's actually part of service. It's also part of connection and growth. Like, these just kind of all go hand in hand, but they have purposes, right? Going out into our community to just feed people. Do you know who we fed yesterday? Jesus. If you read scripture, you'll understand when you do the little things to me, when you love on people and you feed me and you clothe me, and he's talking to his people and they're like, when did we do that? Every time you act in a loving fashion, guess who you're doing it to? Our Savior. Man, I don't know about you. The one that we worship, the one that we come together and we sit here and praise about, and we want to let him know that we thank you for your salvation that you provide us. If there's any opportunity to meet him face to face, right? Anytime that we open our eyes and see that there's an opportunity to serve, guess who we serve in all reality? Jesus. I know I'm going to keep repeating myself. I know, like, he's the answer, but I want you to understand what that answer means so much to us. That the one that we're answering to, the one that we get to spend more time with, is the one that saved us from all our sins. That now we are not bound to hell. We have a new life. And we're free of all those things. We may still stumble, we may still mess up, but God knows us and loves us and redeems us every moment of the way. And we have the opportunity to be in his presence. Woo! We better take it. We better take it, right? So this is a couple of things I would like for us to understand. These are kind of like health checks on the opportunity to serve and if we're not serving, right? This is what a healthy, unhealthy life looks like in three ways that's not serving God. We lack generosity. We're not kind. We're not ready to give of our time, of our finances, of our possessions. We're just, no, not ready to do that. To me, that's the first indicator to go, okay, there's something within my heart that I'm not ready to give. I'm not ready to be kind. I'm not ready to share the joy that God has given me because I'm just not right with God right now. It's an indicator of my life not being healthy spiritually. And it starts putting up a wall. Well, they got this. They don't need this. They've done this to me. I don't want to do this for them. And we start putting up these walls, and we start justifying it, and Jesus comes in. You guys murdered me. And I love you. And I continue to forgive you. And I continue to be wanting to be in your life, period. And guess what we are called to look like? Guess what we are supposed to be? That same kind of life. And again, the only way we can do this is if Jesus resides in my heart. It's a question for you there. The second thing is low ministry involvement. What does that mean? Low ministry involvement. It means you're not involved in any ministry, basically. In the parts that you are, it's really just what you like. It's a preference. Well, I like Sunday morning because I get what I need. But from that point on, I really don't want to be involved in Sunday school. I really don't want to be involved in helping out with handing out things. I really don't want to be involved with small groups. I really don't want to be involved in, I mean, that list can go on and on and on and on and on, right? I'm going to tell you right now, the more that list grows, the less likelihood you'll understand that Jesus has got a call in your life. Right? If you read Scripture, the best way for us to understand this call and grip something about it is if we come together and learn His Word and study His Word and also live His Word out, right? Take those opportunities to do it, and if ministry is available, and I'm going to tell you right now, you guys are all called to be ministers. Do you realize that? You're all called to be ministers. You are. There's none of us, I may be your pastor, but we are all called to be ministers. And wherever you sit or wherever you work, wherever you reside, wherever you live, like, that is your plantation of your church that you are called to minister to. That you are there for a reason, and God has put you there for a reason. And the moment that we don't want to do it, and I'm gonna be honest, there's been moments in my life, even being here, I'm like, I don't want to do it today. Lord, find another person to go up there on Sunday. Right? Oh, Lord, I really don't want to show up on a Wednesday night. Oh, I'm tired, and I'm cranky, and man, if somebody asks the wrong question, right? Probably do that to me more than likely. But I will tell you, it also puts me in check in that moment to realize, okay, what's wrong with my heart that I don't want to serve? What's wrong with my heart that I don't want to be a part of this ministry? Because there's something there that's blocking the opportunity to be part of the mission that God has put me on. And that's the third one, that we have no mission in our life. When we don't have a mission in our life, we walk aimlessly around and we're trying to figure out what's going on. And we're like, ugh, what are we doing? There's no hope. There's no passion. There's nothing. When we have a mission in our life, and trust me, I've seen it. I've seen when my wife has a mission in her life, and it's to clean and get me to clean. Oh, it's fired up at that time, right? Like, it's there, and she's in charge of the house, and she's going to tell, hey, kids, we're going to do this, and if we don't do this, guess what's going to happen, right? Imagine having that same kind of, that ump to follow God, to serve God, to be excited, to go, all right, I'm going to get the troops rallied, and this is what we're going to do. We're going to change a whole community because they're going to see the love of God in me and they're going to know that I'm changed and they're going to be excited to be part of me because I'm here and I know my life has been changed and it's filled with joy and excitement because of what God has done in my life. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's not false joy and excitement, especially when you're going through some hard times. You can still have joy. And the moment that we understand that we go through those hard times with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and people see that and they acknowledge that, and they're like, dude, I know what's gone on in your life, and you're different. You're different. And it's our opportunity to go, because my life is on mission for God. He's changed me. I once was this, and now I'm this. I once was lost and I was broken down with all the world's worries. And I gave my life to Jesus and I know he's in control. I know who's going to win and I'm not frightened anymore. I know who's in control of the storms and I know that I can walk out there and if I look straight into Jesus' eyes, he's got me. In the moments I take my eyes away, guess who's there to lift me up? Right? Imagine if my life is on mission and I have that in my mind, in my heart, and I go out there and no matter what I say, God's going to use it. That I have the courage to step in the furnace and the fire and say, my God's got me. That I'm able to share what God is, my testimony of what God's doing in my life today with the people that need to hear it tomorrow. And it ain't easy. But if you look at Ephesians, you'll notice some things. The more we do these things, the more that we are serving for Him, we become unified as one body. That's pretty cool. Because we start to understand what our mission is, and we start to revolve around that one goal, which is Jesus Christ, just to love Him in all the things that we do, to serve Him, because He loves us, and He's called us to serve as He serves. And He realized how He serves, He gave His life for us. We are called to give our life back to Him. And we go out to people, and we're not worried about how they think about us. We don't worry about how we appear to them. We may be crazy, but the reality is this. We know our God's got us, and He's transforming lives through us. Yes. If we serve for Him. But there's three areas that I think we need to watch. And if you write these down, I implore you, are you being generous? Are you involved in ministry, and do you feel like your life is on mission? These are key points to look at in your day-to-day walk. Trust me, I have to ask myself this almost daily. Am I waking up in a nice mood today? Am I ready to serve God today? Right? Because there's people that I come in contact maybe one time, right? And I realize this now. Like, we made the news. And people are going to start to recognize that I'm a pastor at the First Church of the Nazarene, and I've got to start watching how I act. Well, who laughed like that, huh? I said, all right. You know what? We all have to start thinking about that. That we don't represent just ourselves. We represent Jesus Christ. And how we treat people matters. How we serve people matters. And we are no bigger than anybody else. That's the cool thing. Like, if you look at Jesus' ministry, who did he serve? The lost and the broken, the outcast, those who were not accepted, those who were maligned by religious people. He brought them in. You know, life can get busy. And there's a story that Jesus is part of that, if you look at Luke 8, 42 through 48. Luke 8, 42 through 48. He's in this crowd of people, and he's been talking, and they're all, like, walking with him, and he's been asked to go and heal or go and see a daughter that's died, right? And it's urgent. And people are all crowding him, and they're asking, and it's one of these scenes that they're just, everybody's got a question for him. They all want to be around him, and it's just this hustle and bustle of a scene, right? And in this moment, a lady touches him, touches his garment, and she's healed. And this is what the part I find fascinating, because he took his moment, and he was gracious, and he stopped everybody and said, "Who touched me?" You see, he was aware that something just happened, and he wanted to acknowledge it. His life was busy. It was chaotic. The voices were all going around, and he took that moment to go, "Hold on, I need to stop here for a moment and pay attention and serve this person. I need to recognize this lady that she's been healed and that her faith healed her. And I need people to hear this." So he stopped generously. The first time I read it, it was like this feeling like, "Who touched me?" Like, no. It was one of these like, "Hey, who touched me? Who grabbed my garment?" And I get this sense that he had a soft voice, but it was so demanding that everybody just like, "Who did? Who touched? What happened?" Something exciting is about to happen. Let's watch. She goes, "I did." And he just said, "Your faith has healed you." So he took the time to acknowledge her and be gracious and give her new life and said that her life is free of this now. I think about that in terms of how we need to serve. That we have this life that we live, and it can get so busy, and it can get so chaotic, and we have so many voices in our ear, and we have a phone now that takes up most of our time, and we just keep swiping and keep swiping, and we, like, the day goes by, and we're like, "Where did it go?" And this is the thing. If our life is on mission, we start to understand all this world, the noise that's around us is just that, noise. But the moment that my life is on mission, I see people for what they are, and they need Jesus Christ, and I have that opportunity to see them in their face and go, "Jesus loves you. I see you. How can I love you? How can I be a part of your life?" And you start to recognize the moments of how God is going to gift you, because we all have different gifts, if you remember. We all have different gifts. We're all called to be different in this moment. It's a matter of following those gifts that God has given you through the service in that moment. All right? So it's awesome. Like, the moment we do this, the moment that God allows it and we start to be on mission, guess what starts to happen to our own heart? It heals even more. It becomes even closer to God. The more and more that we serve God, the more and more we come hungry more for what God has in store for us. And I will tell you, church, I'm seeing it out of us. I'm seeing a church that's hungry for God because we are serving God. We're hungry for God because we are connecting for God. We're hungry for God because we're growing in His Spirit. Right? These are the things that we are called to do. So these three questions I want to leave with you. Are you lacking generosity? Are you involved in ministry? And what's your mission in life? These three things, I love for you to ask this week, to just evaluate. Is it where God wants you to be? Right? In this moment, what we're going to do, too, is I'm going to bring Austin Kitchens up, right? Just right here. And as a church, he's leaving soon. He's joining the Marines. All right, he enlisted. They took him, actually. And as I was preparing for this message and knowing that I was going to do this, I started thinking about what a way to serve. That he's given his life for our country, but as an example of God, he's given his life, he's getting the opportunity to serve those who are going to be in the Marines with him. He gets to be the light in one of the most darkest places. Do you guys realize that? Like, I've had other students go into the military. I've had other students, and they tell me about the stories of going through it, and it's dark. It's lonely. It's intentional to be that way in some ways. And this is our opportunity as a church to think about this, not just with Austin, but anybody else we know that's in the military, anybody that's in the Marines, anybody that's serving, that we pray for them. And this morning, Austin represents all of them, whether you knew he was going to be doing that or not, right? But we've had the joy to get to know Austin this last year. I love Austin. We'll go play disc golf. He's horrible. I love it. Makes me feel good. Right? But more importantly, I got to know his story and how God is working in his life, how God is moving in his life. And it's just a cool story that I got to be a part of. And this is the thing. And I'm not trying to brag, but this is my thing. If I didn't take the step to do that with him, I wouldn't have known this part of the story. You see, I want to live a life that's on mission. And in that, I have to take the steps sometimes that are uncomfortable to build relationships with people that I can know their story and start to share the story of Jesus Christ with them. That's our chance to serve, right? And in that, we've got to share the story of Jesus, basically, in those moments out there throwing a disc in really hot weather and sitting and having a burger and just knowing where God is leading this guy. And this is our opportunity as a church, and I would love for us all to stand. Right? And if you're up close, come and surround them. Other than that, just know that you're praying for them. And let's pray. Lord, I just want to lift up Austin this morning. Just be with him, guide him, direct him, keep him safe. Lord, I pray that you challenge him during this time to be your servant to a world and other Marines that will be there that need your love. Need your grace, your mercy, your salvation. And I pray that through Austin that comes. I pray that he is a servant for you in the Marines. Lord, protect him. Lord, give him the encouragement that he needs. Lord, I pray that as a church that he knows that we're here praying and thinking about him, that he can always turn to us and we'll be here for him. But more importantly, Lord, may he always turn to you. May he know that he finds refuge in you. That in the times of loneliness and hurt and frustration, that you're right there. Lord, we lift him up and everybody else that serves. Lord, today I pray as we walk out this building, that we ask those questions. That am I being generous? Am I in part of a ministry? Lord, am I on mission? Lord, I pray that we ask those questions and we start serving a life for you. Lord, we are encouraged by your word. You've called us when we do these things, we will be unified. Lord, I'm seeing it. I'm excited about what you have in store for us. And we give you all the praise. Lord, I pray that we become the church that you've called us to be. May we go serve as you've called us to serve. Amen. Church, you're dismissed. Also, hey, one way is to grow. Small group sign-ups. Please go out there and sign up for a small group. That's a ministry.